small enough group, I'm going to a new practice. This year I'm giving the Bechina, everybody gets to meet me for dinner at my expense, so we can talk about the material and schmooze on it and talk about other things too. So everybody's, I don't care for everybody, you know, but by the way, people who listen are not invited to dinner because I don't have that much money, okay? But we're each gonna have a schmooze at a restaurant of my choice, okay? Just to be clear that it's gonna be a kosher restaurant, all right? That's okay? All right, it has to be, okay? All right, good. So I'd like to do that because it gives me a chance to talk to everybody personally. And it's basically only about 6 or 7 dinners. That's fine. I can swing it. Okay. So this is the 11th meeting. And we're going to make a little shift here. Right? Now that we have Yesodos, we're going to be concentrating a lot more, at least half the time, if not more, on practical halacha. So in the Psak Perush continuum, we're going to be tending a little bit further from Perush and a little closer to Psak most of the time. And you'll see in the Simanim that follow, there usually are in Taruvas until we get to Kufei and then to Sveiksveika. There are usually a limited number of Sugyas. And so we'll be doing a little bit of Perush, set up what the indeterminacies in the Sugya are, find what the Rishonim, or try to intuit what the Rishonim must say, then locate who those Rishonim are, and then we're going to go to Psak, and very often we want to be clear to spell out and hear, because in Ein Mevatlin Isur L'Atchila, there are actually, it's somewhat complicated. I'm going to spend a considerable amount of this morning's time on Psak, on understanding 5 principles to get this in our head. When I go through all the shilas that I've been asked over the years, I find that a large proportion of them involve some aspect of bitul iser lahatchila. So it's very important, I think, for us as budding morei horah to keep that in mind. Mm-hmm. So we began our investigation into the klal ein mevatlin iser lahatchila last time with a quick review of the sugya of Zroa B'Shela, in which the Gemara, if I could summarize, intermediated 2 contrary sources for Rabbi Yehuda. He might have learned, I'm talking about Abaye Zokimta, right? Of the Brisa, Zeo Heter Abami Klalisa. Rabbi Yehuda might have learned Min Bimino B'Shishim, if he had followed that it's actually Batel B'Shishim, if he'd followed the implications of Zeruah B'Shela. But instead, he chose to follow the source of Damapar and Damasoyer. Remember? So the Gemara asked, why? Why didn't he follow Zeruah B'Shela? And it answered that Zeruah B'Shela is a chiddush. Umechidush lo gamrina. So that's why he chose the other source. Rashi supplied the missing piece. What's the chiddush of Zroer B'Shela? And he answered, "Delechatchila hutar levatela iser." You remember this, correct? That's just a little summary. Now, based on this logic, and this is where we sort of stopped last time, based on this logic, we might conclude that the yesod of Ein Mevatlin Iser Lachila is actually an Iser Dioraisa. Since the Torah presents only the Chiddush of Zeruah B'Shela, therefore implying that the normative situation is what? That we do not nullify Iserim before the fact, Lachila. And in fact, the Ran presents this argument in the name of the Ravid. Meaning, of course, Rabbi Avraham ben David mi Poskier, identified usually by the name of the city in Provence, but he's also called the Baal HaSagos by virtue of his comments on the Rambam's Yad Chazakeh. Now you always need to be cautious in identifying the Ravid. No, actually there are 3, not 2. Okay, there are actually 3. But you always need to be cautious when you identify the Ravid, when he's cited by the Rishonim, since there are others. In fact, the Chavos Ya'ir mistakenly confuses his Peirush on the Sifra with its important notes to the Yud Gimel Midos. If you ever want to study the Brisa of the Rabbi Yishmael, you need to see the Ravid at the beginning of the Sifra with another author. The Chavos Ya'ir thinks it's someone else. He could be most easily confused with the Ravid Hasheni. He's the Ravid Hashlishi. He could be most easily confused with the Ravid Hasheni, the Mechaber of Sefer Eshkol, who was in fact his father-in-law. So that's what makes him the Ravid Hashlishi. You'll naturally ask, by the way, who was the Ravid Arishon, right? Okay, so that honor is reserved for Rabbi Abraham Ibn Daud, who's also the Ravid, right? The Mechaber of Sefer HaKabbalah, also of the 12th century, who was largely eclipsed as a philosopher by the Rambam's Mora, by the way. If you remember, principally for his more historical and pietist Sefer HaKabbalah. Our Ravid lived during the same period, by the way. Among his Talmidim, we find the Ravid, Rabbi Avraham ben Nasan Ayarkli, who's the Mechaber of Sefer HaManhig. And, of course, the influential Rishon, Rabbi Yonasan HaKohen Miluniel. So we've already seen references to the Ravid Sefer on Bitul Isur Beheter. It's entitled Isur Mashahu. Remember, we've seen it already cited. It gets cited frequently, especially by the Rashba. But it's really his Hasagos on the Rambam that come first to mind when his name is mentioned among B'nai Torah. So we questioned last time the Ravid's argument, Bekavod, since it doesn't appear sufficiently precise to us. The Chiddush of Zeroa B'Sheila is not exactly as Rashi worded it, that it's permissible to be Mevatlin L'Chadchila Masha Ein Kein B'Shar Yisrei HaTorah, but rather that it's a mitzvah to do so. The Nazir's required to rely on Bitul Isur L'Atchila in order to be able to consume the meat of the ayil that does not go only to the Kohen. So this implied to us that the Ravid source, the Ein Mevaklin Isur L'Atchila, is the Oraisa, doesn't work. Since the other side is not in other Isurim, but a mitzvah levatel Isurim Chadchila in other mitzvahs, right? So the Ran himself argues after citing the Ravid, the Chiddush of Zeroer B'Sheila may be that there's a mitzvah to nullify the Isur B'Shishim in Zeroa B'Sheila, while it's only permissible to do so in other Yisurim. So we don't have a source, right? Okay? And as we mentioned last time briefly, the same machlokas plays out in the pages of the Torah Sabayis, in Bayis Revi Shar Aleph, between the Rashba and the Ra. The Bedek Abayis, the Mishmeres Abayis, right? We'll spend some time on it. We should look inside at some point. The Rashba advances the argument we put forward and decides on this basis that Ein Mevatlin Isur L'Atchila is only the Rabbanan. It's important. Now, since the Shach decides, like the Rashba and the Ran, that is the Halacha. Ein Mevatlin Isur L'Atchila is, according to the majority view, Midrabanan. Now, where the situation gets sticky is the too often case where someone has actually ignored the prohibition and has L'Chadchila nullified Isur by adding Heter to effect Bitul. We're going to discuss not willfully ignoring, but ignorance of the prohibition in a little bit. Okay, and that's a big Indian, by the way. What is shogeg? Is shogeg definition of the act, or is it only about the intention of the act, or does shogeg also happen when the intention is not to do an avera because you don't know? So we'll talk about that. Is shogeg, we call one shogeg b'maisa and the other shogeg b'din. So we need to understand, is shogeg b'din included in shogeg b'maisa? Okay. All right, and this is what I want to concentrate on. Just get this very, very clear. It's our mission for the day. What is the halacha? So let's start with the most makiel case. Min b'mino, where for everyone but Rabbi Yehuda, it is batel b'rov, right? Min haTorah. Since there's no component of tam ki'ikar. The requirement for shishin in min b'mino is only derabbanan. Thus instituted by the chachamim in order to effect consistency of a single shiur in min b'mino and min b'sheino mino. So where we have min b'mino, say nevela gravy with kosher gravy mixed together. And there's a rove of kosher gravy. So the nevela gravy is already batel min haTorah. Right? Since the shishim requirement is only derabbanan, so what's the din if someone adds kosher gravy to top the mixture up to shishim? You get the instance? Okay. So the Rashba writes that even in this less stringent case, the Tarovis is Asura. That's the Rashba. The matter that Easter is only Drabbanan. That's what the Drabbanan are doing. It's a Drabbanan shear, so the Drabbanan they Asura. Now, if the Rashba prohibits even this Tarovis, where there's no Tam Ki Ikar, we know that he would prohibit Min B'Sheino Mino, where there is a matter of Dioraisa, Tama Dioraisa, and it's Tzad Iser Min HaTorah. And probably, if there was no Rove to start, you had an Iser mixed with Heter, and it was the Tarovis was a Surah. Min haTorah, because there was no rove of Heter. The Rashba includes specifically, by the way, two categories of people in the Isser. This is Shitas HaRashba. The Tarovis is prohibited to the Mevatel, the one who added the Heter to top it off, and to anyone. Lamisha nispatel bishvilo, for anyone for whose benefit the questionable bitul was intended. Now, when we say that it's aser lemevatel atzmo, we generally mean lemevatel uvenei beso. Right? So the question is, how about for other people? We need to keep these two categories in mind. Next week we'll ask, how about commercial uses of bitul isel atkila with non-Jews? Okay. I want to clarify just specifically what we need to clarify this morning, because this is complicated. A lot of moving parts. Okay, I would like to read that Rashba in the background with you, but this morning I'm really intent on clarifying the details of Pesach, which from this point on are going to be a very important part of our mission to be Moed Olam. So the Rambam and the Rosh agree with the essentials of the Rambam Rashba Shita, but they add a nuance to the last part about its applicability. The Isur for the one who is Mivatel B'mezi, despite the rabbi's strictures about Bitul Isur Lakila, is in effect a Knas, right? It's a penalty, it's a rabbinic penalty. As such, it should apply only to the one who did the act himself, because a kenas is contextual. It's associated with a particular person. It's not a kenas on the chepta disura. Although we should clarify at some point, how about chametz pesach? Okay. Is that isur in the chepta or isur in the gabra? But the logic here is that the kenas is an isur gavra. This is how we explain the Rambam, who only mentions the one who is himself the perpetrator of the forbidden bitul isur atfilah. He says it's usur to the one who's mevatel. Now, since he says nothing about la'acherim, maybe we can deduce, albeit from an argument from silence, that he does not prohibit the tarovas for others. So the Rosh cites the Rambam in this fashion, and so the general approach is that the Rambam and the Rosh prohibit only to the one who himself effected the bitul, la mevatel atzmo. That's the general approach. With me? The Tur, interesting enough, does not make this argument from silence. When you read the Deya of the Rambam in the Tur's formulation, please pay attention to this important difference. According to the Tur, the Tarovis is prohibited also for anyone for whom the forbidden bitul was effected by the addition of Heter. By the way, the Rashba also interprets the Rambam in this way to include anyone else, probably on the supposition that the argument from silence is not powerful, since it would make the rabbinic stricture weak and easily compromised. The Tur's own day is a little less straightforward. He distinguishes between the Taroves that belongs to the Mevatel B'mezi, B'Isur, and when it doesn't, the one that doesn't. When the Mevatel doesn't directly benefit, since it isn't his, it should be mutter to him as well, since there's no logic to the Kenas. He's not benefiting himself financially, but someone else in merely participating in the consumption. With the Anis Dati, not so compelling, but lehala. That's why I say Aniustati, because to me it's not compelling. This brings us, by the way, to the Beis Yosef, who write, I know that you could read this yourself, but I want to, I think it's complex and I want to lay it out. Okay, so I know that you could, it's no insult intended that you couldn't read this yourself, and I hope you will, I know you will, but I just want to lay it out for you. The Beis Yosef writes explicitly that of course the Tarovah should be prohibited to others, since if not, we encourage this kind of behavior in the future. It's logical, the Beis Yosef says, for the Rashba and others to have made this deduction to include Acherim, even when the Rambam doesn't say it himself explicitly. So Rabosa is an area in which you will be asked many shilas. So let's state the halacha firmly and clearly. One, in an Isur D'oraisa, it's clearly forbidden to top off a Tarovis with Heter in order to effect a shear of Bitul. No question. It doesn't matter if the shear is only the Rabbanin, as Shishim is in Min B'Mino. One may not the Hatchila top off a Tarovis to effect the shear. Two, if one didn't willfully ignore the prohibition of Ein Mevatlin Isur Hatchila, that is, he did it b'shogeg, the Tarovis is muteris, since the logic of Knas doesn't apply. Three, in such a case, if one did it bemazed, knowing that the prohibition is actually prohibited not only to him and his household, but it's actually prohibited then to anyone for whom he intended to make the Tarovus Muteris. Okay, so if one did it b'mezid, usser. For everybody except a complete third party. Four, according to the Shach, we do follow the day of the tour. Namely, if the Tarovus is not his, it's permitted to the Mevatel, since there's no logic of Knas. He isn't benefiting himself. It's permitted to him, and Kol Shekein to others. This clear so far? Five. What about if the act was intentional, but the shigayo was a matter of ignorance of the din? We should ask this question a lot, right? Is that shogeg or mezid? It is a bigger discussion, but for day's practically focused chaburo, let's lay down some facts of deos. So in such a case, the Yam Shel Shlomo, the Marshal, considers Shogeg B'din not to be included with Shogeg B'maisa, but to be mazy. Since Shogeg, since the act itself was done intentionally. Since Shogeg and mazy are categories in intention, not knowledge. I find that very intuitively appealing.
Right.
Yeah, but see, there the din would might be different because we have a specifically a malefus machshavas, right? Specifically focused on intention, right? So it might be different there. The Taz, however. And this is what we follow the halacha. So let's say it carefully. Shogeg b'din is also shogeg in mutter. In this case. What do we have to clarify? How about the kalim? For that next time, we're going to look into the Aruch HaShulchan and other opinions like the Pri Chadash and clarify what the halacha is for the Kelim. What else do we need to know? The Acherim, does it include just those who are covered by the Iser, or does it include non-Jews? Is commercial benefit a question? These are all the questions that flow from two simple se'ifim in the Mechaber and the Ramah. Very big. How about some questions? This is like really important. As everything we do is important, but this is, I can tell you, practically important.
So, what was the nafkamin between, what is it, as four and as two? They're both issues of Bashogi, so I was a little unclear of the nafkamin there.
You did it Bashogi because you didn't, you weren't thinking, but you knew that it was us. You did it b'shogeg because you were thinking, but you didn't know that it was us. So,
isn't that more anusa than shogegus?
Well, it could be, but you know, the category is if you did it b'mezid, and what we're worried about, it's a kanas, right? So it's not really a question of onus. What we're worried about is it's a question of kanas, and Knas is put in place to make sure that people in the future don't willfully ignore, as the Beis Yosef said. So if the Beis Yosef said Knas is there for willful ignorance in the future, then if you got away with it the first time, you know, because you said, oh, you didn't know the din, well, you may do it, or somebody may have seen you or whatever, or, you, hey, look, I ate it and it was no big deal, right? So that's what could, you know, so if the that's why it would make a big difference as to what the intent, what your intent was. Okay? So you can see, I can actually see the two sides of the question about Shogeg B'din, whether it's included in Shogeg B'maisa or not. I can actually see the two sides, and, you know, and reflecting today, not on which one is conceptually more intuitive, but which one is, in fact, empirically the halacha. Okay? We okay with this? Okay, since we have three people missing, and they're going to listen to this. How are we doing on reviewing, okay? Everything okay? All right. Okay. So I hope to have from my my friends today the PDF of everything beforehand. And I think I'm going to try to send out some PDFs of the Koros that you may not... Would everybody have access to Torah Sabayis? Okay, so if you do, I suggest you do it. But I think maybe the... Note of Yehuda, which I think maybe I would send, because you may not have, you know. So I'll count on you to find it. There are several editions. I myself own four different editions of Torah Sabayis. So there's several editions of the Masada Rav Kook. There's a traditional one, you know. There are some reset ones, and the pagination is all different. If you find the reference in Bayis Revi'i Shar Aleph, on a particular page number, send it out to everybody by email so they'll know, because it can be difficult to align the editions and find the right page. So if you happen to, you know, you'll find the discussion of Abraham Bat Nisal Adchila. He has a later discussion in the second Shar, and it'll revolve around a Gemara in Beitza about Perush and Ashru. So it'll. It revolves around the discussion there. So maybe I'll send the note of Yehuda, Bezer Shashem, and that I remember Bezer Shashem to send it. Okay, so I'll send that. And, review should continue, but our format will be a lot more like this in the future now. What we're going to do, because we'll have a little less parish to do and a lot more psak. Okay? And we'll have to read inside a little bit more in the Shach and the Taz. But so far, I think the Lashon of the Shach, and I'm getting questions from people on the various, you know, Lashonos. So if you have a problem with that, you know, for sure, but I don't want to spend the time here just reading if it's easy and straightforward. Okay? All right, so I think we'll wrap up today, and hopefully I'll communicate with you during the week.